Now
says we're for life.
We cut it.
Yeah, okay, well.
Just so you know.
Oh, here.
Okay, so we're going to call to order the our...
Shoot me. Okay, fire me.
Our meeting.
Our
OMAC meeting for Wednesday, February 5th, 2014, at 4 p.m. 4:10.
4:10. Because Lori Zink was late.
Melissa, you want to go ahead and do attendance?
Okay. Mary Britt is here. Tito Comas.
Here.
Sarah DeSantis is not here. Linda Harlow.
Here.
Jennifer Frimes.
Here.
Jan Larson is not here. Miriam Needham, not here. Matt Wardell is not here. Kent Weekly?
Here.
Daniel Yerden?
Here.
And Lori Zink?
Late.
I don't have official correspondence to share, but I have something that didn't quite make the agenda, but just so everybody's aware, I got it late after the agenda was posted. But we have received a letter from Sarah DeSantis. She is relocating out of the area.
What? Yeah.
Washington,
they gave
D.C.
him the job?
No, Virginia.
Oh,
they're
Virginia.
In Virginia.
Oh,
yes.
Closer to children.
Right, exactly. So Fine Arts for Ocala is appointing a new representative, and I'll have a copy of Sarah's correspondence at the next meeting, and at that time we'll have the letter from FAFO appointing their new representative, and that has to go before City Council for approval, so that should, if everybody moves along, it should happen in plenty of time. Jan Larson also did send me an email this morning that says that he has decided to resign. I have asked for an official, I need it in writing, I don't have that yet, but he said that he's enjoyed being a part of the board, he just feels like with what we have coming down the pike, you know, in the near future and current developments, that maybe his seat would be better utilized by someone else with more connections. He's not as active in the community anymore, so I'll have some correspondence at the next meeting.
Okay, so do we want to move to approve the minutes from the last meeting, the December 4th, 2013 meeting?
I'll move.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so we go forward with approving minutes. I'm going to review grant recipients.
I have the report from last year's It Starts in Park student photography contest. Let me give you guys a report. The quality of the work that we received this year was really astounding. The middle schoolers, I think, kind of blew the high schoolers away quite a bit. And this year, we were able to showcase the top three award-winning pieces in each category, middle school and high schoolers. The best to show, second place, third place, all get framed for each category. And those went to City Hall on display. So they were seen by, approximately 600 individuals. We have over 600 people on city staff. So we felt confident in saying that they easily were viewed during the exhibit by that count. Unfortunately, this year, or last year, the actual number of students that participated was very, very low. We went backwards considerably. We had about less than half the amount of work submitted and less than half the amount of students from the previous year. We do think we understand what the problem was. The first year, we had an in with Wally Wagner at the school board, and we hand-delivered hard copies of the submission packet, a flyer on the competition, the flyer for the workshop, all the guidelines in the entry form. And we had them in packets of 10, and they got distributed to the high school and middle school art educators. And last year, I think with what had, Wally wasn't there, we had talked, and I was going to speak with Miriam today, hopefully she'll be coming in, but we assumed incorrectly that because we had emails. We had had a big response from the first year. We had more emails from the art educators, and you know, Miriam was helping us that by doing it electronically, we were going to continue to grow. And we went backwards, and we think it has a lot to do with budget reasons. We did talk to some of the teachers, and they said, you know, we don't even have the money to print this stuff out. So it's much more effective if we have something that we can hand directly to the student, and then they take it home, and their parents will act on it, and they will act. So we made a mistake. the photography club really is, I think, really proud of this program. It's a really great program. The students that participate in it enjoy it. It has a lot of unique components. They have a free photography workshop that they can attend during the competition period. They also receive a judge's critique, and they receive a scorecard with judge's comments. And we've done surveys, and they really like the awards package and the opportunity to have a one-on-one on-location shoot with a photographer. For last year, Kent is the on-location photographer, and we actually next week are taking those award-winning students. That'll be the last component of last year's program. We were finally able to coordinate some dates with the kids, and we're taking them to Live Oak Stud, and Chester Weber's helping us with access to his horses in a field, you know, at sunset and blue light hour, and so we're going to do that. So it'll be a really special, you know, experience for them. And the photography club is, they've got more volunteers that have committed to not only getting this to the public schools, but getting it into the hands of the private schools, because we feel like we're missing those folks, and the city is committed to printing however many packets we need to. So we're thinking we're going to print like 400 of them and divide them up between the camera club, and then, you know, I will give some to Miriam and coordinate with her on getting them directly to the art educators as well. So we feel like if we hit it from both angles, we're going to be, you know, more successful. And it really did seem to be an issue of trying to do it electronically versus printing out the paperwork.
Well, could this be something that could be on a website where kids could go download it?
It is on a website. Oh, okay. It's been on the Discovery Center's website each time. We have blogged about it on social media. I will say that now the Art Walk has a much larger following, so that city page, you know, is much more effective. We have 1,100 friends now, and we did have quite a few families participate in the program that I know saw it last year through the Art Walk site. The Discovery Center site has grown as well, but it will be hosted on the internet. It has its own webpage under the Discovery Center site, because it's a partnership with the City of Ocala's Discovery Center. And in lieu of what happened, the city, you know, has said that we found some money that we can put towards it. We also have an anonymous donor who believes in the program and has provided $100. And we felt like, well, instead of asking for $500 from OMAC, if we could ask for $250 and give us a shot to see if we can get these numbers, you know, significantly increased this year. We didn't hit the number of kids that we wanted to, but we feel that we can. And the exhibit did connect with a lot of folks. We had a lot of comments about the photographs at City Hall. So I can segue into the next part on the agenda, which is the application for this year. And then you guys can look it over and ask me any questions. Mark Emery did agree that he would be our award-winning photographer, you know, for this next year. And it's, other than that, it is a pretty similar program. We did make one adjustment. Last year we had the workshop for the kids very early in the season, and this year we're doing it later. It will be April 12th, which is kind of midway during the competition timeline, where they should be out trying to capture images. We thought this would give us a little bit more lead time to market it and have more bodies there. We did, in 2013, the camera club provided many more volunteer instructors at the workshop, and we ended up with a ratio of like almost one instructor for every two students, and they really had a wonderful time. It was really a great experience.
Question.
Sure.
Did you talk to Miriam or somebody about the date for the workshop? Because they pushed FCAT toward the end of... you might know the answer. Are they...
No, FCAT is still Marchy.
It runs for weeks.
It's not.
February 25th is the rights. I just happen to know this because I had to write all this down. And the actual FCATs are from like, what day is, it is like from April.
There's like a 2 week window.
It's like from the first, the 2 week window takes you into the first week in May. It's later in April.
Okay.
Yeah, because for a while, a couple of years, we did the school tour near the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
and there were multiple reasons why we moved it. I mean, it was too late in the year for it to be effective, but part of that, too, was that they had shifted
the FCATs. I actually didn't look the exact dates up, but I had assumed it was later in April, actually, because we normally get bombarded
I promise you, it's that time, because I just had to write all that down because of tutoring for, you know what I mean? We were just going through.
I will double check on that, because we do still have the ability to change that date, but
they
it's a good
do
point.
They don't do as much with, I mean, does high school,
March is spring
high school
break,
doesn't take FCATs
FCAT.
At all, do they? But middle school.
High school, yes, 10th
high
grade.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, even if it's not the testing week leading up to it, they're going to have a hard time doing anything but getting ready for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll double check on that. Any other thoughts? Or?
You want to put it up for a vote?
So, how much? $250? Or
are you asking for five or 250?
It's 250. That amount on the top
amount.
Page
oh,
says
that's
for
what
the
you
previous
got last
year.
Time. Okay.
Oh, okay.
At the top it says grant amount requested is 250.
I make a motion to give the 250 as requested by the grant application.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I did not vote to make sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're a sponsor.
No, and I do the framing.
Oh, yeah.
To reduce price. I'll note that for the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I'm missing my...
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Are you looking for more adult photographers to help mentor kids or whatever their responsibilities are?
I don't believe the club is. I think they have enough. It is a club project, so their members are providing
I have a friend that's involved in a club, but I'm not sure what the name of it is. It does...
photography.
Is Randall in this same club?
Okay. Yeah, and he's actually involved in the judging and provides a lot of support for this. So, yeah, he's one of the worker bees.
Cool.
It's a good group.
Yeah, I know that he would help if it wasn't something they were already involved.
Yeah, they're very enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, both years.
Mm-hmm. The club is actually going to do an exhibit of their winners of their contests at the theater in March and April.
Yeah, that would be great.
So you guys can push this March 15th?
We actually would try to get it out. The camera club is like right on top of me, like, when are you going to print these out?
Right.
We want to start getting them into the schools. So probably, I'm going to double check the FCAT date and then...
spring break is the last weekend in March.
Right, and we need everybody to be aware of this before that, because a lot of the students will probably use
that
time period
to
be out and about and capturing images. The grant balance is $1,258.89. That does take into account the grant that was approved last month. So we're gaining a little bit of ground, but not much. And I have an update for everybody on the Art Depot project, Ocala's Union Station, and a couple things. First, with the Art Depot project, I'm going to pass out a revised proposal. And I think OMAC at this point should probably officially vote on this program that we're moving forward. The city of Ocala has approved the use of the train station to house the supply repository. It can be used for volunteers to work out of, and they've approved hosting a website and, you know, my support services, but they really have advised me to be very careful to not overextend myself and that we make sure we have enough volunteers to make this program happen. The one stipulation is that because we're ultimately using city resident tax dollars for this program, and although it did initially stem from a conversation about the state of the arts and the needs in the public schools, that they feel strongly that we need to be supporting art education for all Marion County children, and that we offer this to the grant program of the supplies to any art educator who applies, meaning a private school or a homeschool program. So that is their stipulation, so I need to make sure everybody's okay with that. I have spoken with Miriam about it one-on-one directly, and she did say that she's 100%, understands 100% and is in support of that, but I didn't know if we wanted to have a discussion.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Are you going to be able to, you'll be able to, or you will verify a homeschool parent is registered homeschool, because mm-hmm. they have to register.
Yes, we already have that process in place. Mm-hmm. The Discovery Center has homeschool programs, and we also have a homeschool membership, and they have to bring in a certificate that they're a registered homeschool. So that would become a part of the qualification to receive supplies.
So anyone that comes in has to register, and we got to know, why are you coming in to get stuff? And
It will be an online application process.
Right.
And they will have to state who they are. And the goal is that our volunteer organization, Service Partner, is going to process all those requests. There's probably going to be a two-week turnaround. And that they'll come in once a week and they'll follow up and they'll verify that it's, you know, it's a Marion County public school teacher or a private school teacher. They're going to have to give us names and numbers or emails of who to contact to verify.
So kids in art classes can't come in and say, I need some.
Not at this time. We're right. very focused at this time.
So there'll be like a membership sort of thing which allows you to go in.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then and the service organization partner would also be responsible for taking the incoming donations and inventorying them and uploading them into the computer program, and then also taking items off the shelves and bundling them for the deliveries. Miriam has, she's pretty sure she's worked it out where the courier for the public schools will come directly to the train station, pick up the items, you know, on a weekly basis. And then any homeschool or private school art educators would need to come in, you know, we'd have a scheduled time where they can come and pick up those items. And then I guess the only other concern on the city's part is that they wanted to make sure that, they asked me multiple times, they were like, well, we don't, very much in support of this program, but if we get to a point where things are better in our schools, you know, we don't want to commit to this indefinitely. You know, maybe it would evolve, maybe it would become something strictly for students who have needs versus art educators. Mm-hmm. But they just wanted to make sure that that vision aligned with OMAX, mm-hmm. because we might get to a point, you know, down the road where maybe the space at the train station would be better utilized for something else. And they just want to make sure that there's an understanding that they're committing to this now and they're in full support of it, but they're not at a point where they want to commit to it for 5 years.
Well, they just approved the tax.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I think we all want to see how it goes.
Right.
I do have good news as far as, for you to think about, as far as, I think as a board you need to vote if we want to move forward. But the Ocala Rotary Club, with Patty Mooring, she told me today it is 100% official. Her board has approved that this project could be her special project as incoming president for 2014. And so she would assemble a committee of volunteers who would help with, they would come in and they would inventory supplies and you know, they would run this program. They would also raise funds. And with it being a special project for their club, the Rotary International will match dollars, dollar for dollar, for any funds that they raise or we raise, you know, for this next year.
Great.
And she said that although she comes in as president in June, they can start this like whenever we're ready, and they're already, they have a new fundraiser. There's some sort of a food truck event that's happening out at Dillard's on the last Thursday of each month. And she said the first one's this month, and they anticipate with the February weather is sometimes questionable, and it's the first one, it might be kind of low attendance. But Rotary Club's the only one selling beer and wine, and they feel like they're going to make some money. And it's a monthly event for the rest of the year, and they would like to put the funds towards our depot project.
The last Thursday of the month?
That's what she said.
What are they selling beer and wine to? I mean,
general
drink while you shop? What?
Drink while you shop.
Then you'll shop better. And I guess they receive half. They get half of the proceeds, so if they're selling it $4 for a beer, they're getting $2. So... they'd like to put those funds towards this program. They also want to have a social event at the train station, and would be really wanting to do that in April or May. They have an event the first Saturday in May, and then we have the Mother's Day, you know, Symphony Under the Stars, so I think April would be better. And Patty highly recommended that, you know, it would be something that OMAC should be involved in. We should be there. I think this is a great opportunity for us to partner with an organization that has new faces. and they are viewing this as a potentially long-term partnership, as we look at the train station as how it can become a facility that supports the arts in the community. And I have information to share on that as well. So
as long as it's later in April.
Yeah.
More busy otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And that was one of my things. We've got some blackout dates. I mean, I already thought of the symphony event. We've got the early event in April. I've got, the film festival. And then the Appleton Museum is looking at possibly doing something at the depot, or at the train station. I'm already calling it the depot. The train station, either in April or May. And we have two dates, and they haven't selected the specific date yet. So
is that related to the art depot, or is it just using
They would like to use this space to promote it as a cultural facility, and in conjunction with their Spring Fling fundraiser series. So it's some of their hosts are looking at, the city will have an agreement with their, I don't know what you call it, the hosts of that particular function. That way we can get around a lot of red tape. So,
I had a concern that I had expressed before, but I don't remember if it was when we were at MCA or here. Is that I would suggest that we come up with some kind of limit as far as how often they can come or how much they can get. Because you'll get somebody that's just really energetic and comes all the time. And the conversation that I had with Miriam, she had some real serious concerns about the art educator, the actual art teachers not being able to get the stuff because other teachers were coming in and picking it up for a one-time project.
That has been revised in this as well, actually. We've removed, for the time being, the support to core curriculum educators who want to But incorporate says, art supplies.
But it says any. I mean, all the discussion today has been any Marion County educator.
Art educator.
Art educator.
Art educator.
Where does it say that?
Tops. In the first sentence.
Wow. So then whatever the description then of art educator is.
We have a list.
We have a list.
We know exactly who the art educators are with the county.
Yeah, but you don't have with the private schools.
No, but we would have to contact them with each of the, with and every single
parent. But I still think we need to put some kind of limit as to how often you can come.
Well, we still have the application process has the project notification in it, correct? Where they need to tell us what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of helps that. They're going to be asked, what will you be using the supplies for and how many students will be involved?
Right.
And then we're going to ask them to report back to us what they've done with the supplies.
Yeah, this sounds like it's not going to be, I need to stock my shelves because I don't have stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it has to be project specific, and then they'll have to give us pictures at the end of it, and we can stipulate that you can't come back for more until that's done.
But for the person that has to tell them no, mm-hmm. it would be great if we could put it in writing.
Mm-hmm. Because, of some kind.
This is how often you can come, or this is how much you can take in one thing, or something like that, so that they can say, well, nobody said that, or I went to Melissa and she said I could do it. But right. You know, if you can put it in writing, it's like this is the established protocol. And I would think that the Tools for Teaching already has mm-hmm. something like that. They probably have something we can look at and mm-hmm. decide if we want to just adopt that.
Whether it's just written in some form that says something to the effect that no additional supplies will be granted until previous project has been completed or mm-hmm. something along those lines.
Well, we can definitely come up with some written protocol for that. We'll work with Miriam on it. I know she's pretty adamant that this is very different from the Tools for Teaching because those teachers are going in and they're getting supplies for their 30 students.
Right.
Unless I'm missing the picture. I mean, this is what she's really beaten into my head, and especially with the issue of the core curriculum, supporting core curriculum teachers, that the art educators are going to be going in to the submitting requests for supplies for hundreds of students. So the volume is going to be pretty significant. I think that we would best control it by limiting the projects that you can request for during the year, but I think she's got to give us some advice on that.
Well, and the thing that's helpful to the applicant, too, is if you can have it in the online thing that says, you know, mm-hmm. applications can be submitted once a quarter or something like that, that mm-hmm. if you've got something toward the end of the year that is the thing you really need the stuff for, right. then you don't right. just put one in every single...
Or it could be student, how many students specific. Because if I go in, you know, if I'm an art teacher and just my kindergarten is doing this, I'd like this for my kindergarten. I only have 100 of them, whereas a high school teacher is going in for 400 students, you know, you're getting four times as much. Could the one, you know, maybe it's the amount of stuff, not the number of times you come in.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of said the quantity.
There we go. Yeah, it's just.
It needs to be discretionary, though, because you know what? If we get oil paint sets for enough to do 100 or 400 and there's an opportunity to get 400 people painting, then we should still be doing that.
Well, then you're going to have some kind of exception process.
Yeah.
I mean, that's only. It's going to happen anyway.
I know.
It's convoluted.
If you're relying on a service organization or multiple service organizations to execute this, they've got to have some criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't say, well, I went on a Wednesday and they said this was great, and then right. I came back to pick it up on Friday and they said, oh, I don't know mm-hmm. who told you that. You can't take this stuff.
Right.
Well, and is it you either get it or you don't kind
I
of
think
thing?
So, yeah.
Or is it a, I've submitted it, okay, I'm getting it.
No, it's got to be approved.
Okay, so they have to wait for an approval.
Yes.
And then you get homeschool where there's only one.
Who's doing the approval?
Student.
I think that the...
But that's not... I've learned a lot about homeschool lately. I mean, my neighbor right across the street, I mean, the homeschool group, you know, probably tons. Mm-hmm. The homeschool groups have, like, these big mm-hmm. groups, and they, to do special projects like this, they go, like,
activities,
I mean,
field trips,
big groups mm-hmm. that do things kind of like a, you know, like they're all going to art class at the same place mm-hmm. or once a week or,
so
well, I mean, you know, whatever.
Individual.
It's not like little moms saying,
well, the homeschool
I need
association
an art
may decide to apply as an entity for 100 students.
Yeah.
I mean, That may happen. I have a question for us as a group about our mission with this. If are we saying that these should be Marion County, our educators in need? And if we are, we should say that. I know we're not going to ask for financial statements, mm-hmm. but when you get into private school and homeschool, I think it's worth at least planting the seed in their mind that we intend this for you only if you are in need. I know we can't enforce it. I mean, really, we can't. But at least we should say it, right? Because we do intend this for
That's why we're doing
need.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's a need.
Because what you're saying, the city is saying, you know, if things get better, this could read as if, you know, we think this is great and art supply should be free. You know, and mm-hmm. no, we don't. We think that we're meeting a need. Mm-hmm. And if you have that need, but if you're a private school and you can afford to go out and buy all this stuff, I mean, I would hope that you would think twice about taking it just because it's free.
So your recommendation would be to change the first sentence to read
just in need.
At the end of it, mm-hmm. visual art supplies to Marion County art educators who are in need.
Something like that.
Who's going to define what need is?
Finance.
Well, like you said, that just plants the seed. I mean, unless you want to get into it. Financial needs. Yeah, that's good. I'll go with that.
Because if you just say a need,
you're right. I need.
Financial need.
Yeah. But these that home, but home educators. Find, okay.
No, mm-hmm. private schools, it may be a management problem in their part that they cannot.
And there could be a public school who's decided this is really important and they've really stocked up. I mean, it's possible, probably not.
I mean, I would hate to say it, but I mean, there's a big difference between Madison Street mm-hmm. and Evergreen Element, who, you know, when I know the teachers there, I mean, they're all paying. I mean, when they told me what they get for mm-hmm. an art budget, it's for, you know, 200 kids, they're getting, you know, $20. I mean, they're all trying to pay for it out of their own pockets.
We might want to put something, you know, somewhere that says something like, you know, I mean, this. We might want to draft a statement that says, because I've seen that kind of thing, I can't tell you where, but I've seen it before, it says, you know, mm-hmm. these are services for folks in need. Please do not take this.
Yeah, please,
you know what I mean?
Please do not take
it. Do not just take this if you really don't need it.
I know it's an honor system. Candy on my display counter.
Right. It's an honor system. But at least we're showing that we intend this for people who can't afford it.
Well, shame. Or, and, you know, maybe we should
elaborate on that paragraph
a little bit, because you can say that OMAC has recognized a need within our school systems due to,
and we're supplying this service,
due to budget cuts,
we don't believe
and the
that
closing
financial
of,
should
know,
be a barrier
out,
to
you
access
know, and we don't believe financials should be a barrier but I think we have to say, you know, maybe the reason why we even chose to do this.
We think the arts should be fully funded. I don't know, maybe, but maybe we better not get political.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, never mind.
Yeah,
strict.
You and our teacher and voted for the tax referendum, then you make them in.
Yeah.
Show your voter ID card.
Yeah. But this we, you know, we started this conversation though actually a while ago because we were also getting calls. Like we get calls of I've got this leftover stuff and. You know, the Appleton does too, and where can we give it? So there's still, even when there's not going to be a financial need, there's still, remember this concept
a need to facilitate.
About? Right, yeah. Getting the stuff from somebody who has a bunch of extra stuff. To be frank with you, I get a lot of calls from people who the spouse was an artist and they passed away, and the widow has all these stuff and they don't know what to do with it, and it's usually not stuff we can use. Mm-hmm. But this is where it could go. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I don't foresee us getting donations of hundreds of one thing. I mean, I see things like that where it's going to be more specific needs, and it's probably going to be smaller, concentrated projects by teachers and that, which probably won't.
And I can see teachers going in and saying, what do you have?
Right.
Okay, now I can change what I'm going to do, knowing what you have.
Will they be able to do that? Right. Can they see you from mm-hmm. the... Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, they'll be able to
window
see...
Window shopping.
And pictures. Right. Yeah. They'll be able to see pictures and a description of what's there, and then they can
request I can see
it,
giving
and it'll come out of
all
the,
my scrap glass from the mm-hmm. from the glass studio, which would be something that they kind of couldn't... Mm-hmm. But then I hope there isn't.
So I think essentially what we have in place initially is it's there as far as... kind of having stops so that if somebody comes in and requests something, we grant it. There's a stop that's put in place at that point. They're not just going to come back tomorrow and ask for more and the next day and the next day. That stop is they need to show us that the project, the materials were used for a project. Mm-hmm. I think what we might need to determine in writing is what our time period of approval is and what exactly we need from them. Yeah, and once that's received from them, then there's a time period of which, you know, whoever's volunteering has maybe a week to go through the material and make sure they actually did it. And then then it opens up again, and then they can ask for something else.
Yeah, maybe you want to say they have to close out each project. They can't have
two. Well, it's kind of like, right, you know, they've got to fill out a... Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good one. You can't have two active projects.
Right, it's one, yeah, one at a time.
That would be really good, because that's the way you put the stop on it. Mm-hmm. You know,
and then those supplies have to be designated for and pulled off the shelf. Maybe not literally, but...
You know, I don't know if they want to do this all digitally, but if they do it simple, I mean, it literally can be an envelope from that particular teacher from that school that goes from the open basket to the, you know, they're using, they've got materials out, so it's, you can literally see
it's
in that.
Yeah, you could easily keep track of that. I mean, it could end up being a 3-week turnaround on a request, depending on the exact date that they get it in there. If we have the service organization who reviews the request and verifies that they're valid, and verifies that the supplies are there, that there isn't any sort of hiccup.
They can't be requesting stuff.
Yeah,
and they don't have
right that hasn't there hasn't been a human error and it's accidentally still on the website or something like that. But the supplies are there. And they're verifying that, you know, that they don't have another project out, you know, and then maybe it's another set of eyes should look at it. And I think at that point it's an easy process. I could review it one time, and then the third week that they're back, or, you know, or it may even be the second week, you know, then they can pull the items after I've just checkmarked it and double-checked it.
I don't think 3 weeks is too long, because at this point, I don't know about everybody else, but I know that Dylan at Osceola, when you're on that off semester for art, you're only going to art like twice a week. It's not like you're going every day. So if they're even doing a project, it's not going to get done.
And I would think they're planning out a pretty long distance for this. Right. We're not looking for people to come to us last minute. We're looking for the responsible educators who are planning projects. Yeah. And I think having a little bit of a wait is a deterrent. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we say up front, you know, there's expected 21-day turnaround for approval, for review, notification of approval, decline, and picking up or delivery of your supplies.
Now, if they request something we don't have and we have funds.
I was just going to ask, what are we using the funds for?
Do we purchase the supplies they have requested?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, is there an electric bill? Is there, is all that stuff?
I can talk about that next. Okay. At the moment.
Phone bill, all that.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go. Do you still have quorum if I leave?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, I do. Right. For this.
I have like 3 more minutes. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we do actually. Great. For this project, for the supplies being at the train station, at this moment, we do not have to worry about paying the utility bill at the train station.
No, I think, and this is a little bit off tangent, but what if we had a place in there that displays what has been done with some of the projects?
Yes, and we have that capability.
That way the teachers can, you know, if we have a lot of cuts, for example, from Mat Board, and this project was done with Mat Board, now the other teachers can see everything that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then they can come in and we don't have to add more supplies.
Well, that's going to be part of the process too, because those images are going to go on the website when projects have been completed to start showing what the funds and what the materials are being used for as well.
And we can request, you know, our favorites. We can request that the teachers provide us with a sample of that to display.
But if I come to request, or I come to the depot as I walk in and I see projects there, it's going to really make a big difference.
Yeah, really get you a lot of ideas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Theoretically, though, by the time they're walking in, they've already made their request.
That's
they're just
true.
There to pick up.
Yeah.
So, if it's online and that,
what there is online.
Yeah, it would be a tool, even if the larger room space in the train station is used for some other things, I think there's enough space where there could be a designated section or a wall, you know, where you could display that. And with the different individuals that will be going in and out of that building as it... evolves.
It just reinforces
I think it's
what we're doing and our mission. I think
it does to have
thing.
It available.
And that's not to box. Say. And yes. That's not to say yes. That at the art walk there couldn't be at some point like an exhibition.
Yeah.
excuse me, you know where I'm going with this, of the projects. Of work,
right.
Yeah. And that we need donations.
Yeah.
And I think then that also should be commitment from OMAC at the April. And do you want some water?
Yeah, I'm
going to go. I think there might be some.
Sorry, I think I swallowed air or something. Yeah. Well, I was so excited.
Jennifer, did you get my email?
This morning, yes, thank you.
Does anybody else see the water?
I appreciate that.
I sent you her name.
Thank you,
Melissa. Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen that. Thank you. Sorry.
Take care, Jennifer.
If we made part of the final report thing be that they need to submit digital files, some photos.
It is, yeah.
Because that way you could do, you wouldn't have to worry about having display space. You could at least make yourself some kind of a,
It would give us options.
Another thought that came up with the funds and using the funds, I think we might want to head it off at the pass right now that we probably, maybe we need to talk about it, but are we going to reimburse teachers for previous purchases coming to us? Because I can easily see someone buying some materials and coming to us with a receipt asking for.
No. And on it, that would become, for me, a nightmare. If we start doing anything like that, I think it should be what's available on the website only.
Yeah, I think we need to spell it out, make that clear.
I feel like if we get a request that we don't have the supplies, we tell them we don't have the supplies. Well, and they shouldn't even be submitting it from the beginning.
We shouldn't be requesting something we don't have.
But they could tell Miriam, if we're not getting what the teachers need on the site through donations, and she keeps coming back and saying, they really need pastels or they really need oils. And as we get funds from our partnership with Ocala Rotary or grant writing, we could make a decision. We need to be contacting our different supply warehouses and companies, in the region, and asking if we can have discounted purchase pricings. Can we buy their leftovers? Can we buy their damaged goods? We can then decide what we're going to buy and put it on the website.
I guess what I'm getting at is I can see a scenario, something if we have, for instance, 15 oil sets that are nice, and they're not super expensive, but they're nice, and the teacher's requesting 18, and they decide, let's just purchase the extra three and give them. And then the teacher finds out that they purchased the three, and then it turns into this whole, they'll just buy stuff for us too. And by the way, I bought some things here. Can you help me out with that? I can see it going down that road is all I'm saying at this point.
Yeah,
I think we just need to spell out
that
it's only for existing materials or materials provided through our depot and just kind of leave it at that, so they're not expecting that.
And since it'll have its own page, we could do the wish list on the page for a teacher. I came and I looked at the inventory, but I didn't see what I needed, and there's a little place for you to input that this is something that would be
useful. This is what I like.
Or a Dropbox.
And then however it happens to end up at the Art Depot is our business, not theirs.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
People ask for Elmer's glue, then it's
And we do. What I can do is, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but I was going to ask if the board would consider meeting the first Wednesday in March, because I think this is going to move along quickly. We need to discuss it further. I'd like to share the website. I have some work to do on the website. Our little committee needs to probably meet in the meantime. So we have the Art Depot project to discuss. I know that the Ocala Symphony has a grant that needs to be presented. And then Marion Cultural Alliance may have something to present as well. And I have a little bit more to share about what's happening on my end. So if you could maybe make the decision if you want to officially pursue this. I do have to do a presentation at Ocala Rotary Club on the 10th. I'm supposed to. Of February, to share the program with their members, because their members don't know. And I feel like, our press release date and all this is getting pushed out and moving a little slower. And I feel like we need to meet, I need to take all these notes and implement them, and our little committee that's working on this needs to meet again. And then I need to share that with the whole board, and maybe we would be ready to do a press release mid-March.
I don't have a problem meeting. That'd be March 5th.
What day is that?
It's March 5th.
Wednesday.
It should be fine. I need to scram as well.
Okay.
Do we need to vote on anything?
You probably, I kind of feel like we need to vote to and say that we're moving, if you are or not moving forward with us.
To move forward.
Okay, so who has a motion?
I'm, I will move that we move forward on the Art Depot project at Union Station.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passed with 100%.
Okay.
Move forward.
Sorry, I'm just making notes frantically. Okay, really quick. So we can discuss this further at the next meeting. The next meeting should be at the train station because.
Oh, wow. But not the 5th.
I mean,
not March.
The March meeting.
March? Is that the train station?
March 5th meeting should occur at the train station. So what you're looking at is a conceptual of the proposed art park. You may or may not have heard about that. It is in the Tuscarora Master Plan, which is going to be approved or go before council to be approved on February 18th. It's one of the components of the park that we feel relates closely with the train station as a cultural arts facility. Kind of bookends the park with the Discovery Center, the Symphony Project, the sculptures, you know, ties it all together, and it creates a destination at the north end of Osceola Linear Park. And so we presented, the art park's been something I've been working on with the Recreation and Park Department, and our in-house landscape architect. And we have some budget numbers for that project and been looking at some grants. The Art Depot project that we've put together allowed me to take both of these to the city manager and say, look, we really feel that we could, at some point, the train station needs to evolve into some sort of an art facility. Not 100% sure yet what that's going to be, but we know we have some needs. We did a visual artist survey. We know we need designated studio space. We know we need open studio space. And I'm overflowing out of my office. I do now have part-time help that's seasonal, and hopefully she'll stay. Okay. So I'm excited about that, and I have nowhere for her to work because I'm in the Discovery Center. So they did approve me moving my office into the train station, and that is on phase one on this little diagram. It's a little hard to read, but we won't be meeting in that office area because if everybody attends, we won't have enough seating. But in the flex space just to the right, it's kind of the main entrance of the train station, and that's a great meeting room. We'll meet there, and then you can see where we would be housing the Art Depot Supply Repository, where the volunteers would be working, the space that we would have to showcase the, whether it's images of finished projects or examples of the projects themselves. And the idea is to work on developing a business plan, doing some research, and then developing a business plan to use the train station to benefit the art community. So I'm working on putting together a steering committee to work on that. And at this point, Linda and I have talked about it, and Vandy Shaik has agreed to be on it. And I spoke with Cindy Morrison at the Appleton because she has experience running a like artist co-op, studio space co-op. So she said that she would help. We really need a group of about 6, and I was wondering, Lori, if you could, you know, maybe Russ would consider that.
He will. I talked to him.
You did? Okay. We thought we needed, you know, a connection with MCA and what's happening with the brick, and so we have Synergy, and also we need some folks with, you know, business individuals. And Patty would probably be there, so I think we have like one more seat. And I was hoping to get somebody kind of young, you know, that might have some time to work on this. And
good luck.
Yeah. I have one person who might be a possibility, but I haven't been able to circle back to him yet. I didn't know if anybody here has some ideas. I want to make sure it's exciting, and we'll definitely be bringing everything back to OMAC for review, but I want to make sure we don't, like, double up and spread ourselves too thin. We've already got a committee working on the Art Depot project, and we've got this committee, And coming down the pike, I'm working hard on the grant, the NEA grant for the community cultural plan, and that's going to involve everybody here. So, and that, if we get the grant, and we may be getting some donor dollars, we're starting to get some momentum on that. In a perfect world, that project would start in January 15. So there's a lot going on. But I think you guys need to see the train station. So...
So our meetings from now on are going to be there?
I think our meetings from now on are going to be there.
Starting in next month.
Mm-hmm, because my goal is that I will be in there next month.
You know, I think we ought to talk to FAFO and see if we can get them involved, because they got the money and they need to do art stuff in the community that they're not doing. That's my personal opinion.
They have some younger people in there.
Yeah, and they have a lot of young people there too.
I know that... that Summer Gill has expressed an interest in maybe being involved. Not necessarily in that project. She asked me if we need help on any of the art projects. So she's somebody that I could reach out to.
If you want me to, I'll talk to Papa.
Okay.
That would be, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because I think, I mean...
You're right. You're just right.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful if you would.
Okay.
And that's all I have. It's a lot. I'm sorry.
That's good.
And then I'll reach out to you, Kent, and Lori, and Miriam, and we'll get back together on the Art Depot project.
Okay.
And then we'll all meet again on March 5th. Do we need to have a motion that we're meeting on March 5th?
You tell me. Let's have a motion. Does anybody have a motion?
Yeah. Make a motion that we have an additional meeting on March 5th at 4 o'clock at the train depot.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. All right, let's have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move that we adjourn this meeting.
Yeah, a second.
Wow, 5 o'clock.
Wow, yeah. I too.
Second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, any opposed?
Hey, I just want to know, since we're penalized for coming in, you know, 6 or 7 minutes late.
Yeah.
What about the people who leave early?
Yeah, they should.
According to our Mary and Patty, that should be an unexcused party.
Stay late.
I think it's like,
that's credit for the next meeting.
Lori, call
credit for the next meeting.
I got to race over to Forest. I'm supposed to be there 5.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. All right, see you guys. I won't get home until about 7.
I'll get you my schedule, but I think. I'll see you next week with the kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Is this
I can't see where. I'm trying to figure out where Tuscaloosa comes that close to the train station.
It's
turn
right
it
here.
Upside down.
Well, here's north.
Yeah,
it says north.
This is the west.
And here's
line.
The train station.
Linda
right here.
Is going to come
the
to
west.
You. Oh, Linda is going to come to you because the line.
And these are the
label.
Tracks
mm-hmm.
that go
the
into
Irish,
some of the.
Which is right here.
We made up last year with
the
Irish
and
their
wine
park.
These are
the Irish
right
on the east
side
of the
right.
Way.
And then we're
so
the
what's here now? A grass field.
They're
bottom.
Yeah,
they're bottom.
Right.
Yeah, they're bottom.
So when you drive through there, you just throw them away.
Don't look at it. It is beautiful. And I've got some photographs from a photographer that took. I'm like, I want one of those for
the
office.
She has put together the design from the things.
Well, of course, since you can't really drive.